We're going to continue our series on the everyday Christian. We're in part three of this series, and it's entitled The Everyday Christian. The scripture that we're going to use comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Now, before you go there, just allow me to say this, that I challenged you all to get into the Word of God last week. Amen? And someone got into the Word of God so much they emailed me in excitement, and their insight into a particular passage was so powerful, I said, you know what, I'm going to preach that after this series. And so you're going to hear a sermon that comes from someone who took up my challenge to read the Gospel of John, who shared their insight. I'm going to preach from it. And so I'm not going to reveal who it was. They'll be embarrassed. But certainly I'm going to be preaching from that, Lord willing, right after this particular series. Keep reading the scriptures. Keep reading the scriptures. A young man asked me last night, just got into the ministry, Pastor, what advice can you give me? Well, number one, don't preach for money, ever. And then number two, read the Bible every day. Stay grounded in the Word of God. And for those of you who are having trouble reading your Bible and really getting out of it the meat that you want to get out of it and understanding it throughout the day, how many of you got a cell phone? Okay, who does not have a cell phone? Okay, there we go. In your cell phone should be a calendar, right? How many of you have a calendar in your cell phone? Right, okay. If you see a scripture that you really like, type that scripture into the schedule of an appointment and it will buzz you. And you look, oh, I got an appointment. No, it'll be that scripture. And it'll remind you. So just copy it two or three times. So at 3 o'clock, it'll buzz you. And you think, oh, it's an appointment. No, it's not. It's that scripture you typed in that morning. Then at 8 o'clock at night, it'll buzz you again. And that way you don't have to write it on a cue card or anything like that. And you will have it there throughout the day. Amen? So I'm just trying to make sure y'all don't have an excuse. So in the morning, you just put it in, you know, just type it in. Just that one little scripture, it'll buzz you throughout the day to remind you what you read. Amen. And who knows, it might buzz you at a time when you need to hear from that scripture, from whatever it is the Lord has told you to do. You're welcome. Five things every Christian should do every day. One, pray. Two, study God's word, your word, actually. Three, let your light shine. Four, make healthy choices. Five, fight the battle against temptation and sin. Now, yesterday I got checked by somebody when I was standing in line to get my loaded omelet by Michelle Zanders. Just double it up on me. And so while I'm standing in line, someone checked me and said, hey, aren't you preaching a series on the everyday Christian? And isn't one of your points making healthy choices? I'm serious. I'm just trying to eat, man. I mean, I ain't doing nothing to you. Why are you? I mean, she done made three kinds of potatoes. There were three tuna potatoes, cheese potatoes, and then straight up hood potatoes. And you could, you know, get whatever kind you want. And sausage and bacon and eggs. And you go, come up to me, all big and bad. Didn't you preach a sermon, making healthy choices? True story, I'm serious. One of you all, you know who you are, came up to me with that. And I said to you, I haven't written that sermon yet. I haven't written that sermon yet, so give me a break. Let me be myself for a minute. But next week, when we do bring that message, Lord willing, I'm going to wear a sweatsuit, okay? I'm calling it Sweatsuit Sunday. And you can wear yours, too, as long as it's tastefully done. Don't wear no Speedos. Don't wear no Under Armour. Please do not wear Under Armour. Yeah. And I come out of my sweat jacket, you will lose the food you ate 2 weeks ago. You don't want to see that. And neither do I. So be tasteful about it. Amen? Amen. We're going to call it Sweatsuit Sunday in honor of the person who checked me yesterday. And then we're going to see if we can get going and get back on the track of losing some weight and making healthy choices, getting your colon checked, and all the things that we should be doing anyway. Amen? Taking care of the temple. Okay, good. Well, Matthew chapter 5. I love this chapter too. How many of you know that you're the light of the world? How many of you believe it? Jesus said it in Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. If we're the light of the world, why is the world so dark? Have you ever asked yourself that? The answer to that question is obvious, because the people who are the light aren't shining. Don't mean to sound anticlimactic in this message, but I think we just need to get to brass tacks, right? The reason why the world is so dark is not because of the absence of light. It is because that light which exists is not being used for its intended purpose. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, said to his followers, and it's true for us today, you and me, we are the light of the world. Period. And then it goes on to say, and he uses an example, an analogy, a city that is on a hill cannot be hidden. If you're looking for a city and that city rests on a mountain, guess what? All you have to do is look on top of the mountain. Where are we going? We're going there. Well, that's the same thing people should see when they look at your life. Well, I'm looking for Jesus. Well, they shouldn't have to look far. If they're looking at your life should be like that example of a city set up on a hill, and people can see easily how to get to Jesus. Now, does that mean they'll get to Jesus? No, it doesn't, but they'll know how to. Not everybody who has the light, who sees the light, will follow the light. But God forbid that should be an excuse for us not to shine our light. And if you are the light of the world and the world is dark because of sin and blindness and all manner of evil, it's only because, for the most part, that those of us who've become that light that Christ has called us to be, we're not shining our light. We're not shining our light. It's just that simple. Well, I'm letting my light shine. Really? Where? Well, I sing in the choir. Well, okay, that's good. I do this, I do that. That's fine. But you know what? The world is not in this church. The world is out there. You are the light, not of the church. You're the light of the world. This messed up, sinful, chaotic, corrupt world. You're the light of it. You should be a walking lampstand everywhere you go. Well, what is the purpose of light? Verse 15. Men do not light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. Why, Jesus? So it can give light to everybody who's in the house. Jesus gives you a light. The purpose of that light is to radiate and provide the necessary ability for people to see their way to God. That's what light does. That's what you and I do. And it's not just in preaching and teaching and all of that. There's many ways that we can shine our light, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But understand what's going on, that Jesus wants us to know that our purpose is not to shine to be seen, but to shine to illuminate. And I think that's where the message of why the church is such a mess, if you will, has come into play. The church is good at being seen, but it is not good at illumination, the ability to make known to those who are in darkness and sin the path to God. Because we're so busy trying to be seen, trying to be accepted, trying to be approved by the same world that we're supposed to be bringing the gospel to. And listen to me, being a light isn't easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I am saying it's our purpose. I'm saying it's what being a Christian is all about. It's about shining, not being an exhibitionist, but about letting those who are in darkness see their way through. And again, let's put the caveat emptor in there. It doesn't mean that everyone you shine the light on will just follow you just because they know the way. There are many people who will know the way and will choose and to reject the way. Yeah, you're not a poor light because people don't follow you. You're a poor light because you're under a bushel. See the difference? Yeah, we don't want to judge the degree to which you're shining your light based on the number of people who come to Christ. We want to judge it based on the number of people who know the way to Christ based on knowing you. Based on knowing you. And you have family members who know you're saved, but they're not saved. Amen. You have some relatives and some co-workers who know you're saved, but they're not saved. Amen. You got some neighbors around who know you're saved, but you're not saved. Amen. And it has nothing in some cases to do with the fact that you're not shining your light appropriately. They're just hard-headed. There are people who know to do better and don't. They know they shouldn't commit this kind of act or engage in this kind of behavior, but they do it anyway. And there's not enough light you can give some folk because they're that stubborn in heart. You can shine the light and shine the light and shine the light. You can keep on shining until you're blue in the face, but don't get frustrated. Keep on shining. That's what you got to do. Because if God gave you a light to shine, your job, your task, your assignment is not to find out if you should shine it. Just start shining. And don't let nobody stop you. Don't let nobody get in your way. Amen. Verse 16. It's time to light up your world, saints. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Who are we to let our light shine in front of? Everybody. Everybody. And in letting our light shine, notice what Jesus says. He says that they may see what? Your good works. That's very, very important. That they may see, and I mean visibly see. I don't mean spiritually see. I mean visibly see you living out the Christian experience. And they should see such a radical difference between you and those who are not Christian that they can't help but know that God has touched your life. Those of you who are on your way to college, let your light shine. And I'm going to be frank with you. It's going to be difficult to let your light shine. There's going to be a lot of distraction. There's going to be a lot of temptation. There's going to be a lot of parties. There's going to be a lot of things to do other than go to the library. There's going to be a lot of stuff to do. But you've got to make a choice. Why am I here? And you're here not just to be a good student, but to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. That is why you're here. And a lot of Christians who end up in college come back backslidden. Why? Because they forgot who they were when they left. Don't fall prey to that temptation, because all it's going to do is make you miserable and filled with regret. But what goes for the college students goes for the rest of us. Amen. Wherever you are, you have a job to do to let your light shine before men. What if you're in a situation where the job or the organization or the institution says, we do not condone or endorse those who try to evangelize or proselytize others? Oh, man, what do we do about that? You shine your light. Yeah, but what if I get fired? Hey, let me ask you a question. Was Jesus meeting your needs when you were a sinner? Why would he not meet your needs now that you're his child? That makes no sense to me. If when you was in the clubs and running around like you was crazy, he met your needs, you ate every day, you had a place to sleep, why wouldn't he do it today? That's why when people say, I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to be homeless, and I'm going to be out of this. Wait a minute. I know Muslims who are not homeless. How is that possible? I know atheists who are not homeless. Are you sure you saved? Because the last time I read the Bible, it says, I was once young, now I'm old, I've never seen. This is David now. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children in the streets begging for bread because God could not feed them. When somebody tells me that, I don't even know what to do with that information, especially if they're a Christian. Because if he fed me when I was a sinner, and I believe it was God who fed me. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from a Father above, with whom there is no variance. That means no double time, no hypocrisy, or a shadow of turning. God, if he loves you, he loves you, and as is condition, folks. He loved you when you was a sinner. He loves you as his child. And if he met your needs as a sinner, he's going to meet your need as a child. But you still have the obligation to let your light shine, even in those areas that say, don't you go proselytizing. Don't you go doing that. And you know what I say to that? I say the word of God is greater than the law of man. Now, don't become obnoxious and go breaking the law saying, I'll do whatever I'm big and bad enough to do. I'm saved. I'm not telling you to do that. What I'm saying is this. If the opportunity presents itself and somebody comes to you and you're in an institution that says, don't go proselytizing, they say, I need prayer. You pray for them. Amen. That's what I'm saying you do. And let the chips fall where they may. Say, well, really, Pastor? Yeah. Go into your boss's office and say, boss, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. How many of you pray for your boss? Pray for your coworker. How many of you have a boss that knows you pray for them? How many of you have a boss who comes to you and asks you, will you pray for me? Isn't that a blessing? You got to let your light shine. People need prayer. People need hope. I've had other people from other religions who know I'm a minister, where I work, on my other vocation, who've come to me and said, would you pray for me? And I said, of course. And I will pray in Jesus' name. They said, okay. They don't care. They just need prayer. Isn't that beautiful? But if you're too, how would we say, wimpish, you're so afraid, you know what? World's going to just steamroll you. You'll be like salt that men will just trample under the foot. You ain't doing your job. You're not no salt. I'm just throw you on the street, let you break up the ice. You want to be light. You want to light up your world. And not everybody who you think is saved is saved. Not everybody who you think knows God knows God. And don't be walking around thinking that all of America knows who God is. No, my friend, I don't know what America you live in. This is the place where we need to shine our light. You don't need to go to Africa. You can let your light shine right here in North St. Louis. Amen. You don't need to become a missionary and go all over the world. We got enough problems right here. We got enough opportunity to shine our light right here. One of our members who's a police officer, I'm just driving to work. I'm watching him arrest somebody who stole a car. And as he was arresting them, I'm praying for him. Lord, just bless him right now in the name of Jesus that this fool won't act crazy. Isn't that funny? You driving down and you watching one of your members arrest somebody. He's letting his light shine. Perhaps he had a chance to witness to him while he was putting the handcuffs on him. God loves you, and I'm taking you straight to jail. Jesus loves you. Little dog in the bounty hunter gospel, huh? Never mind. I don't understand that guy. What can you do to let your light shine? Well, here are some things you can do. Here are some things you can do. Number one, you can rejoice in the Lord. Stop being so, you know, whatever it is that you are. Rejoice in the Lord. What does Philippians 4 say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. See? Be happy in the Lord. That doesn't mean fake it, you know. Pastor says I should be happy. Man, I ain't happy. Well, then don't be happy, you know. Don't just fake like you're happy. But then think about how good he's been. Think about all the blessings he's given you. Think about the fact that he put a roof over your head. Food on the table. Clothes on your back. Think about your family. And then rejoice. And if that's not enough to make you happy, you got a problem. Amen. If you can't say, oh man, I got kids, I got this, I'm happy. I wish everybody was happy as I am. In the Lord. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say to you. I was at a function last night and I was telling everybody around the table, man, I'm happy. I do what I love. I'm married. I got kids and nobody's in jail. I don't really want a whole lot else. I'm really, really happy. And they're looking at me. I said, I love my jobs. I love preaching. I love teaching. I love what I do. I get up in the morning. I would die if I couldn't preach and do my job. It was. I feel sorry for people who hate going to work. I'm not one of those people. I'm not one of those people. I'm one of those people who the boss says, "And when are you taking a day off?" And I say, "I don't. I am off." I go to work to go on vacation. Yeah, she comes to me, and I don't want you to burn out. You're doing all this. You never say no. You're always doing this. You're on this committee. You're running. You say, I am on vacation. And when you love what you do, it feels that way. When I'm at Blessed Hope Bible Church, I don't want to be home. I don't want to be at Augusta National watching somebody hit a little white ball. I want to be with y'all. Well, let me check that. Hold on. No, I really do. I really, really do. And understand something. Rejoicing really requires that you take a few minutes and think about the goodness of the Lord. And if you think the Lord's going to forsake you and you need a bailout, you know what? I really don't know what to tell you. God doesn't give bailouts. Amen? God's not into stimulus and all that. Those are the things that man does. God is into helping his people rejoice. Number two, share the gospel. Share the gospel with your family, your friends, and whoever the Lord allows you to share with. Just tell somebody about Jesus. Number three, encourage those who are broken. If you know somebody who is broken, raise your hand right now. You know somebody who's broken. All right. Let me give you a quick way to encourage that person. Just call them right now and say, "Hey, listen, I was thinking about you. You were almost..." Don't call them right at this minute, but and let them know, "Hey, I just want to pray for you." And don't preach to them. Don't preach to them. Why? Because you're selling them based on their brokenness. Give them love. Encourage them. Amen. Encourage the broken and just pray for them. I know we got the women have done a prayer thing where they're praying for each other. I'm praying for all of you guys, and I hope you all are praying for me as well. And a lot of us Christians, we have this ability to mask or hide our brokenness, which is to our own detriment. And I'm here to tell you today that the longer you hide it, the more you'll be broken. The longer that is, you'll be broken. But if you're willing to let somebody pray for you and allow them to be a part of your life, the sooner you can heal. The sooner you can heal. But as long as you got something to hide, you got a private agenda, you have an ulterior motive, you coming in looking blessed but being broken, and as long as you're going to play that game with yourself, gospel ain't going to do you no good. Church ain't going to do you no good. Am I right about it? Church ain't going to do you no good. Amen. And this is what I believe. I believe this. I want to help somebody today. Somebody's, of course. If you're in a situation that's bigger than you, you've got two really great choices, and they're both positive. One, walk away from it and let God handle it. Number two, worship and let God handle it. Walk away from it and let God handle it. And or worship and let God handle it. Those are two positive choices that you have for one bad situation that you can't get out of. Now, the third thing that I would ask you to do, but this is not a part of the other two, is stop complaining and griping. Just stop doing that. Stop talking about how bad your life is, because you're not in a third world country. You in America. I'm just being real now. You're in America. You are not in a place where you can't make it. Now, you might not have the life that you used to have or want because of the recession and the economy and things are going and everybody's having to take a step down. Listen, my family and I, we've done cutbacks. My kid got, I don't know how many scholarships Joshua have. I said, and you're not going to any of them. I don't know how many scholarships. We lost count. But I tell you, I'm not paying. You're going to flow. It's free, and you're going now. We cut back. We cut back. I already got a kid up there at Mizzou and whatever. I ain't doing it no more. No. You. I'm sorry, bud. But hey, and he hung them all on the wall and all this, and he got scholarships and all that stuff. I don't care. I told him in September of last year, I said, you're going to flow. We're broke. And they're not going to pay us and you and pay my house note. You're not going to college. That's the scholarship. They had to pay my note. They had to pay our bills and his. Then he can go. But guess what he discovered? Man, if I stay home, I got a car. Yeah, that brings a smile to your face. And I have zero debt. I have zero debt. Look, you can't have everything you want right now. Sometimes you have to cut back. And me and my wife, and if you're married, you should sit down with your spouse and go, okay, let's look at this. What can we walk away from? And guess what the answer to that is? Everything. What we cannot walk away from is each other. You say, what does this have to do with encourage the broken? A lot of people are broken because of their financial situation. It's their financial situation. And all I'm saying is this. Many times we're our own worst enemy. And sometimes you just have to say no. You can't have this. Or maybe what you currently have, you need to get rid of. And you need to walk away from it. But if you've got too much pride, and then you, maybe this is the time that God is just dealing in your life where he is saying, settle for less. And let me be on record here. I would rather live in an apartment with my wife and kids than the house I'm living in now, if that's what it's going to take in order for us to get out of whatever situation we're in. That's what I'm willing to do that. Now, we're nowhere close to being at that level, but we don't have money to just go on cruises and run up credit cards and, you know, all this other craziness. I'm not going to be this person who's walking around in a new suit every week or Mercedes and all this foolishness or the car is broke. It's going to stay broke until it can't run. And we, you know, I mean, change my own oil or whatever, you know. But see, if you got an attitude about those things and you're broken, let me tell you something. This is a good time for you to just look at the standard of living. And you say, well, no, God said he's going to do this. I'm telling you, that's a lie. I'm going to call you a liar, but I'm saying that's a lie right now. Because if he had said it, he would have done it already. Because now you have to ask yourself, and what's the holdup? See, we've done believed a lot of foolishness, and because of that, we're broken. You don't tithe to get rich. You tithe because you're saved. And understand, you can't have everything that you want all the time. Sometimes you just can't go out to eat tonight. You see a penny on the ground. I don't know. This is me. I'll pick it up. And people are like, he picked up that penny. You want me to show it to you? Yeah. I mean, I'm going to keep it. I remember Marshall Hyde, a dear brother who is, he and I are very, very close. And he brought me a pair of shoes. I wear those shoes to work. You know? And I know that those shoes have been worn before. You know why? Because they're dress shoes, and on the heel it says Nike. So they were resold with Nike, and I could care less. I love those shoes. And when I go shopping for clothes, I go to the used clothing stores. I don't care if you don't say amen. I'm trying to help you to avoid becoming broken and trying to help you to see that the pastor doesn't have a silver spoon. He doesn't feel like he's got to have everything just new and perfect. And I spend a lot of time looking for a size 13 worn-out pair of tennis shoes. I'm not a basketball player. I don't need no Air Jordans. I don't need no 23s. I don't need no Adidas. I just need a pair of shoes so I can go fishing and get some mud on them. And all week long, I've been looking because I tore up my other ones at the picnic fishing all day. So I've been all week going through all of the used clothing stores, and guess who I see there? Another minister. And we both hook up. And it reminds me of this fact that there are too many people running around who think they deserve something, and they're with a spirit of entitlement. I grew up in Wellston, and I can go back to Wellston. I can go back. I won't want to. But if I had to, you know. And I can say goodbye to the house and the car and the whatever. And let's understand what broken really is. Is broken just me complaining? When the fact of the matter is, God is making adjustments in my life for reasons that I don't need to know because He's God? Or is it really brokenness? Amen? Let's make sure we understand each other. And not just crying out when ain't nothing wrong. Some of y'all run your air conditioner too much. Y'all air conditioner running now. You in church. Then you get a $300 Ameren UE bill and you call Todd Swan and you go, benevolence. It don't work that way. Open your windows. Wear a t-shirt. Go to Starbucks. It's air conditioned. I think we've gotten off track as a church. No, I have not gotten off track in my message. But I'm trying to encourage somebody. I'm trying to encourage all of us. I think that if we were as frugal about our lifestyles as we are about our offerings, we'd never have financial problems. Serve the poor. Serve the poor. And you're not poor as you think you are. I'm talking about the homeless and those who have absolutely nothing. Do something about it. Forgive those who wounded you, who offended you. Amen? Amen. In this picture is a photo of Representative John Lewis and the Klansmen who tried to kill him. And they met just a few years ago to reconcile. That Klansman wanted to ask forgiveness. He was dying. And he called John Lewis and said, would you forgive me? You all remember John Lewis went on the march and he was injured and the blood streaming from his head. Those of you who saw Freedom Riders, you all remember all this, right? And you saw it, right, in the Eyes on the Prize. You saw that, right? Well, this is the guy who tried to take him down. And John hugged them, and they both, and if you look at the whole thing, they're crying and weeping. And this white man who was a Klansman, head of the Klan, said, before I go, before I die, I want to make things right. And so that's the picture you're seeing right there, which I believe really does speak to that situation. Forgive those who have wounded you. And lastly, support your church. And that's not just money. Really, if I wanted to, and that's not lastly either. Support your church. We'll take your money, but we'll also take your prayers and your time. And lastly, we'll take your gifts. And really, I could put a picture of Michelle Zanders here, who really has a gift for doing things, not just cooking, but bringing it all together in the ambiance. And all of the things that need to happen. And I could go on and on and on, but this is the most recent demonstration of where she, you know, she has enough respect from the women of this church. She can call them and say, meet me here. We're going to do this. And those women will rally around her. That's a gift, folks. When you can call women on a Saturday to not shop and cook instead, oh man, that's a gift. I'm serious. On a beautiful day like yesterday, Michelle had an army of women working with her. Her own daughter was here, and everybody was working and serving us. And of course, the men are going to do the same thing the Saturday before Mother's Day. I don't know if I got the same pull with the men as Michelle has with the women, but maybe she can give me some pointers on leadership. But that's a gift. That is a gift. When you can call people and say, we're doing this, and those people say, and I'm here, that means they love you. They respect you. There's something about you that makes them say, I will support you. And it's not just the cooking that Michelle does. It's her ability to build these relationships with folk who are willing to say, and we will work with you. That's a gift. And I know that Michelle is going to get on my case for trying to exalt her like this, but I'm not. I'm just telling the truth. And I'm saying that we have many members throughout our church who possess those abilities and those gifts. Exercise that gift. That is what it means to let your light shine. It is to be able to look at the things that God has given you to do. You have natural abilities on the one hand, and you have spiritual abilities on the other hand. Use them both for the glory of God. I think of Lewis Clark, who brings donuts and coffee every single day. You know, that's his gift. That is a natural ability to be able to serve. That's his natural ability. It's not a spiritual gift per se, but there's some spiritual unction in there. But there's a whole lot of Lewis in there as well. Because he was never asked to do it. He said, I'm doing it. And I tried to talk him out of it. I asked him for a budget. He would not give me one. And in the 8 years or so that he's been doing it, he has never, ever come to the church for a dime. That's why I love Blessed Hope. But we got a lot of work to do. The world needs to know, not about us, but about Jesus. So the question that I have to ask you is this. What are you going to do to let your light shine? How will you let your light shine? What will you do? There's a lot you can do. You can play a song unto the Lord. You can honor the fathers. If it's Father's Day, honor the mothers if it's Mother's Day. Or you can just simply honor God with your life every day. What will you do? Right now is the time to make a choice. To let your light shine. Perhaps you don't have a light because you don't have Christ. Well, I want you to bow your head for just a few moments as Pastor Tony comes. And think about the message that you just heard. It might not have been the most exciting or moving message, but I bet you learned something. In fact, I guarantee that somebody, everybody in here walked away with a something that they can say, you know what? I took this from this message. You know what? That's God speaking to you. That's God saying to you, that's my word to you. What you going to do with that word? Are you going to let it bear fruit in your life, or are you going to let it rot on the vine? If you don't know the Lord and you want to know the Lord, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to ask him to come into your life. Say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Let me give you the simplest way to ask Jesus in your life. Raise your hand just like this. Your right hand, left hand, don't matter. Just ask him as a witness to him. Lord, I lift my hand to you. It's my way of saying, I need you. Come into my life right now and save my soul. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me. Lord, I need you. If you need him right now and you want to become a Christian, lift your hand just like this right now. Whoever you are, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you are really broken and you need prayer, stay right where you are. I don't want you to raise your hand. I want you to just simply think about what it is that's causing this state of brokenness in your heart and mind. And in a minute, I'm going to tell you what to do with that brokenness. And you can walk out of here brand new if you choose to. Think about it. Those of you who are going through something, a state of brokenness, I want to remind you of a passage of scripture. There was a man who was on a bed for 38 years. And Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? And a lot of people say, why would Jesus ask him that? It's obvious. No, it's not. The first thing that came out of a man's mouth. Now, if I was that man, I'd say, yes. But the man gives himself away, doesn't he? He says, you know what, Jesus? I could have been healed by now if somebody had done their job. Jesus didn't ask him that. He asked him, do you want to be healed? That's the question. Those of you who are broken, are you really ready to walk away from your brokenness? Or do you want to stay in that state blaming others like that man did? Oh, if somebody would just come along and carry me, I'd be okay. Jesus isn't asking you that. He said, hey, look, do you want to be healed? And walk away from that brokenness. This is your chance. If I'm talking to you, if God is talking to you, I want you to let it go right now. Just let it go. That's what I want you to do. The hurt, the pain, the anguish, the financial situation. I want you to let it go right now in the name of Jesus. Let me pray for you. Father God, we thank you for being the Father of all fathers. Lord, we don't deserve a father as good as you. And Lord, as a dad, you've got some great children and you've got some children who aren't so good. Certainly, I put myself in that category, but yet you put up with us. You are patient and loving towards us. You don't ever give up on us. You don't ever walk away from us. You're always there to be a dad. And Lord, we love you for that. Father, to those who are going through a broken period of life, to those who are your children who think that life is about to end or their world's about to crumble, help them to hear the voice from heaven. Because it's not over until you say so. Help them to know that you are their father. And as a father, you are their sustainer. You are their protector. And you are the one who will take them from place to place, from glory to glory. Father, if there's someone in this room who does not know you and desires to, Father, would you step into their lives right now and help them to know you? And for all the dads, oh Lord, even now, who are in this room, bless them, Father. Let them know, Lord, that what they're doing is critical, essential, important, and ordained. Let them never give up being a dad. Even when the relationship with mom isn't where it needs to be, let them never stop being a dad. And then, Lord, I pray that here at Blessed Hope, you would be our Father. Lead us. Guide us, strengthen us, and bless us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand praise.